Good morning. We are the Wortham family.
Hear the word today from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband.
I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever."
Last week, we lit the candle of awakening. Today, we light the candle of anticipation. As we wait with anticipation. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, as we wait, fill us.
At this time of year, what is it that you await? What is it that you calculate? What is it that you anticipate this time of year? Do you await the humdrum of family? And in fact, are you excited this year that you actually get to be with your family? Yeah, right, you can clap if you want, sure. Are you calculating this year what it's going to be like around the family table? Are you calculating what Christmas is going to be like compared to last year? Are you anticipating something beautiful? Are you anticipating actually, oh, something good is going to happen this year? I'm Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we are in the second week of our series, The Christian New Year. Yeah, last week we started with Happy New Year. And the start of this year for us who follow Jesus always starts with Advent. There's lots of other different calendars that we have to live by. There's lots of other places that we have to mark in our calendars. But as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we believe that Advent is the start of our calendar. And last week, we talked about having to wake up and to realize what season we're in. This week, we are talking about anticipation. What is it that you await this time of year? What is it that you calculate? What is it that you anticipate happening to you this year? I've had the privilege of traveling to many different cities around the world. I love the city. I love the city. I've been to places like Barcelona with its beautiful Gothic cathedral that stands proud in the middle of the city. I've had the opportunity to go to Alexandria in Egypt with its dusty hustle and bustle of streets and people just everywhere, bazaars, people selling things. I've had the opportunity to even go to Jerusalem with all its craziness of different people walking everywhere and the history and the different mounts and different temples there. But never have I awaited, never have I calculated, never have I anticipated so much as the opportunity I got in March 2015 to go to the greatest city in the world, the city that never sleeps, New York City. I got the opportunity to go. And I awaited this time with anticipation. I was so excited to go. I was only going for a weekend, but I was so excited. As I packed and as I got ready and I booked and calculated my trip, I could hear all the songs that everybody had ever sang about the place ever. Billy Joel, Harry Connick Jr., of course, that other guy, Frank Sinatra, Jay-Z, and of course, Taylor Swift, just resounding around in my head as I prepared myself to go to the Big Apple. I calculated my time, my flight time, when I get into JFK, what I do after I got off the plane, and when we got into the city. And I anticipated that I'd see everything, bright lights, hot dog stands, trash all lined out on the street. I was so excited. Sure enough, the plane flew into New York City. My wife and I got off the plane and got the tram to the tube and got the tube, the underground to the station. As we stepped out on 6th Avenue, the street was bouncing. There was that many people in the city that I felt that the pavement was bouncing around me. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not normally up at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it was 2 o'clock in the morning. We put our bags in our hotel room, and it was just only natural for us to walk down to Times Square because it was like daylight. And as we walked down to Times Square, there was 161 megawatts of light that was emitting from the lights around you. 125,000 square feet screen telling me I needed a new cell phone. People everywhere. Apparently, in this city, every day, there is normally 330,000 people that transverse through Times Square. People everywhere. Everywhere I went, I can hear different dialects from different countries, different people from all over the world. My ear was like turning like this as I heard all these different people came from all over the world to go to this city. What is it that you have awaited? What is it that you calculate for? What is it that is in your calendar that you calculate, that you set back time? I'm going to do this so I can get here at this particular time. What is it that you anticipate, especially around this time of year? John is the final apostle to be on this earth. John was the final one to be left on this small island called Patmos in Greece. And he, like a good Jew who was a follower of Jesus, who what we now call Messianic Jews, John, as a good Jew, was awaiting for something that every good Jew was waiting for. John was calculating when things would happen. John was anticipating the resurrection. See, as followers of Jesus around this kind of year, we calculate a few things. We await a few things. We await Jesus coming. We sing about it. We prepare boxes for it. We light lights for it. And we await for the Jesus child to come into our midst. We calculate on our calendar, December 25th, okay, we'll do this back here, we'll go back here, okay, then we'll all be free and we can eat. And then we anticipate, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we anticipate the second coming of Jesus, when heaven will come to earth and the earth will be restored and we'll have heaven, amen? John knew this well. All good Jews anticipated the resurrection on the last day. John was the last disciple on Patmos, waiting for this to happen. And whilst he's on the island of Patmos, he has a revelation. God speaks to him through visions, through dreams, through dramatic presentations. And it's important when we read the book of Revelation, which was read to you this morning through our candlelighters, is that you remember the word like most teenagers know, like. If you remember the word like, you have a good idea about what is coming in Revelation. So we're going to go there. Revelation chapter 21, all the way at the end of your Bible. Open your Bibles. They're in front here if you want to follow along. If you've got an app, open your app on your phone. And if you're online, please open Revelation 21 in another tab. All the way to the back, Revelation chapter 21, just verses 1-4, maybe 5. So this is John, the final apostle to be alive. And he says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband." So John seen a new heaven and a new earth. He had a vision of a new heaven and a new earth. And the sea was gone. Now, if you're a fisherman, if you're a sailor, you're pretty sad about that because there's no sea in heaven. But the Hebrews understood the sea as to be an unfathomable and uncontrollable entity. And so they didn't believe that they wanted that disorder, this chaos that symbolized chaos. And so the no presence of the sea said there was no chaos in heaven. And he sees a new heaven and a new earth coming down out of heaven. Later on in this chapter, it says it's 144 square feet, 1,440 square feet, a cube coming down from the sky. And this is what he sees as it's coming down. He says it's the new Jerusalem, and it says a holy what? Read it in your scripture. Tell me what it says. It's a holy city. There are many who think that would anticipate, that would await, that would calculate that heaven is a garden. And that one day we'll return to the kind of garden that Adam and Eve had and when they first came from, you know, when they went in the Garden of Eden, and that we'll eventually arrive in a garden and we'll sit by ourselves on our Arion-Dach chairs with a cup of sweet tea. What does John on the island of Patmos say that heaven will be like? It will be a city. A city where the pavement is bumping around. Where there's that many people walking by you that the pavement is bouncing, that the sidewalk is jumping up and down. The road is like vibrating. It says it'll be a city. The new Jerusalem, the new city will be here and it will descend to us, come down from the heavens. It will come down from God out of the heavens. So the heavens was a symbol for coming from the sky. It will come down from there. And he says it's beautiful. It is beautiful like a bride, beautifully dressed. In other versions, it's adorned. But that word dressed there is cosmeo, where we got our English word cosmetics. You guys are paying attention. What a great day. Cosmetic. It's beautiful. It looks so beautiful. It looks so grand. In fact, there's more lights here than Times Square multiplied to the nth degree. He says, this city looks so beautiful. It comes down out of the heavens. Verse 3, he says, "And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them.'" So, amen. So the city's coming down, and it's going to be a place full of people speaking different languages, different tongues. There's going to be more than 330,000 people walking by in this city. The streets will be bounding. And not only that, when you're in this heaven, when you're anticipating this, when you're awaiting this, when you're calculating what this looks like, not only that, but you'll hear the booming voice of God. You'll hear the presence of God within you. In fact, later on in the text, it says, we will hear all the sounds of God. We won't need a temple. You'll be so present with God. There won't be a place that you need to go to experience God. He says, you'll just hear it and you'll know it, and it'll be so bright. There's no electricity. There's no 161 megawatts. There's no great big screen saying, God is over here, by the way, you need a new cell phone. No, there won't be any of that. There'll just be people singing praises to God. And we'll hear his voice, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit comforting. We hear all three at once. And the ancients believed this. They had a better word for the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They just said, thou. And we'll hear thou's voice. And it will resound not only in our head, but also in our heart. I don't know many people who don't want God to dwell with them. I don't know many people, regardless of what background, regardless of whether they're in church today, regardless of what pain they're going through, regardless of what joys that they're having, most people would love God to dwell with them, amen? They would like them to be with them in their anxiety, in their problems, in their troubles and trials that they have. And the Hebrews always wanted God to dwell with them too. And when they were hungry and when they were thirsty in the desert, they cried out to God, be present with us, God. Come and be with us. So they built a tabernacle, a tent. And it was decorated so beautifully. It was cosmeoed so beautifully. In fact, it was decorated just like the heavens are in Revelation that we're reading. And God dwelled there in the tabernacle. And when they wanted to hear from God, they walked into the tabernacle and he was in the Holy of Holies. When they eventually arrived in Jerusalem, they had this beautiful city. How we made it now, but we still want to hear God. So they built a temple and God dwelled in the temple, also behind the Holy of Holies. And the Jews loved this temple. The Jews love, in fact, they celebrate victory around this year, Hanukkah. They loved this temple, and God came and dwell with them there. And they would meet with Yahweh, God, behind the veil. And then Jesus came along and tore the veil apart, and he said, now I am going to dwell with you inside your heart, and the Holy Spirit will come if you follow me and accept what I have done for you, and I will dwell with you, estin, himon is the Greek, I will dwell with you in your heart, and I will be comforting you, and I'll be with you. And on the last day, it's going to get even better. On the last day, when the heavens come down from the sky, we'll be just so excited about just worshiping God. We're so excited about being present with God and God being present with us. We won't hear anything else. We won't hear any lights. There'll be no electricity. We'll just be singing and shouting and praising God. Amen? God always wants to dwell with his people. God always wants to dwell with us. What are the characteristics of heaven? What are the characteristics of when heaven comes to earth? What happens there? What will we be doing? Well, verse 4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, there will be no more sorrow or crying or pain. These things are gone forever. I'll read it again, and maybe you guys will agree that this would be a great idea. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. He will be no more crying, no more death, no more sorrow, and no more pain. All these things will be gone forever. That means there'll be no more split politics. There'll be no more people biting each other's back about nothing. There'll be no more wars. There'll be no more pains. There'll be no more slavery. There'll be no more children being beat up. There'll be no more local slavery. There'll be no more international slavery. There'll be no more pain. And Jesus will come, and we will be in his presence. Sounds like a good thing, right? Sounds like a great thing. This is what heaven will look like. This is what heaven will look like. It'll look better than Alexandria in Egypt. It'll look better than Barcelona. It will look better than the old Jerusalem. It'll look better than even New York City. No concrete jungle here. No lights that inspire you. This place is where we are awaiting. This place is what we incline our lives to. This is the place that we await, that we calculate, and that we anticipate coming for those who follow Jesus. Amen? There's 12 gates, goes on to say later on in Revelation 21. There's 12 gates symbolizing that this place is open for all the nation, more than 330,000 people. That all of those who call in the name of Jesus are ready to step in to this place. And in the 12 gates, there's 12 apostles. And there's 12 stones. And there's 12 foundational gems. Place of perfection. A place where we will dwell on forever. And this is what we incline our life to. We incline our life to this. In verse 5 he says this, I and the one sitting on the throne, so thou, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true. This is the 12th time that God has told John to write this down. And he said to him, write it down because it's trustworthy and true. Just like Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection is trustworthy, and so is God, Yahweh, Father of all nations, is true. What is it that you write down? What is it that is trustworthy and true? He says to him, write this down, because it's really important, and I want everybody else to know this. God says, look, I'm making everything new. Echoing the words of Jesus when he was walking up to Golgotha, look, I am making everything new. And we incline our lives to this great reality. The Jews, John, and all of those who followed in Yahweh, in fact, everything they did, all of the practices they did, all the laws they followed, was so that they could angle and incline their life towards the great resurrection. And our lives are inclined and awaiting, calculating, anticipating this day. And we live our day to day expecting that. We're woken up to this. We're awakened to this, especially in our Advent time. And we incline and look forward to this day. In fact, we angle our lives that way so that when the day comes and heaven does come to earth, it'll be easy just to step in. Oh, I've been looking forward to this. This is all my life. I've been waiting for this. And it won't look too much different. I mean, it'll be bright and it'll be light and everything, but our lives will be angled this way and we just step right in. And in fact, if you die before the last days, you'll go to paradise like the thief did on the cross. And then you'll be resurrected on the last day and you'll live forever with Jesus Christ and God in the heavens. Amen? What a glorious message. What a glorious angle. What a glorious way to incline our lives. And you see, God always wants to live with us. He always wants to anticipate his presence coming to us. And one day the great marriage will be complete when the cube comes down out of the heavens and restores the earth on the last day. And there'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more worries, no more concerns, no more waiting, no more calculating, no more anticipating. Come, Lord Jesus, indeed. Come, Lord Jesus. You see, when we awaken to this reality, when we anticipate this reality, Jesus comes and dwells with us. Jesus comes and lives with us. And the way that Jesus said, I am going to dwell with you, is through communion, through the Eucharist, through the great thanksgiving. In fact, each of you here who follow Jesus have the presence of God within you. And he lives within you and he resides within you. And when we all get together, hopefully a little closer next time, when we all get together, this kind of gets agitated inside of us and we feel the presence of God even more. And when we come down today, we'll take communion together. We're around each other and bouncing around each other and the pavement's bouncing. We feel the presence of God even more. Come to the table and experience God. Come to the communion table and experience the presence of God. Let's prepare our hearts.
As we prepare to come to the table, I want to invite you to the five stations that are around the room. The servers will be masked and gloved, and they will hand you the bread or the cup, and you will take it, and then step to the side, and you can eat it there, and then throw your cup to the side. If you prefer to stay or you can't come forward to a station, please just raise your hand, let one of our ushers know, and servers will come to you. Once you have received the elements, you may return to your seat and have an attitude of prayer while others are being served. Hear Christ's invitation this morning. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom sent into the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send away empty. Your own Son came to us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. And by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you give birth to your church, delivered us from slavery into sin, and from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. And on the night on which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, common meal, and he broke it. And he said, "Take, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a common cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you, for many, and for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts, in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Dwell with us, Lord, and on these gifts of bread and juice, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the will, the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at that heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
If the servers will come forward, please.